my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges, I yearn. For the feeling I earn, all my winners to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm a climber with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russell Rocky.
Other names, Trade Addicts Pod. Let's go.
I am Frank in the chat, and I have a trading problem.
I am Herms, and I also have a little bit of a trading problem.
It's the calmest intro you've ever done in the history of this show. What's up, everybody? Welcome to session 406 of the Trade X podcast, where even though the network went away, the depth's always here to stay. And as you can hear, no Rocky tonight. He had some stuff come up, but we don't need Rocky. We have Herms. And when you have Herms, what else do you need? So, Herms, how are you? Let's start with that.
I am doing very well. It is wonderful to be here on the Trade Addicts program, here to discuss all things Dynasty Fantasy Football.
Yeah, that's better. Before we get started, why don't you remind everyone who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do?
Yes, I am Herms, a man of one name who also has another name, C.H. Herms, that appears on the articles that I write at ftnfantasy.com. I do a lot of stuff over there. You can find articles from me coming out every single week. And I'm also the co-host of the Crossing Routes podcast with my good friend and co-host, Mr. Tyler O, a.k.a. Tyler Orjinski, one of the best rankers in all of the industry. Very sharp mind. We get into all sorts of things. Redraft Dynasty, everything in between. Sometimes we just don't talk about football at all, but it's a very fun program. That is the bulk of what I do, and I'm sticking to it.
It is a fun program. Most people don't know that Herms is the smartest person on that show. And he plays coy. And Herms also wrote a combine article. It's combine week, so everyone should check that out. We'll get into some of the names, but everyone should go check out the full article. It's great. All right, let's start with the news. There actually is some news because it's combine week, GMs and everyone are talking. So we'll start with some signings. Javonte's back with the Cowboys. 3 years, $24 million, $16 million guaranteed. So let's call it two, right? Because if it's three years, so we'll call it a two-year deal. Now what, Herms? Now that we know he's back, he's a Cowboys running back for 2 years, are we putting him right back where he was, kind of right outside top 12-ish for this redraft purposes and maybe a little lower for Dynasty, just given younger guys coming in?
I mean, yeah, the best thing that could have happened for him was coming back into the fold in Dallas. It was a supercharged offense last year. It was super exciting to watch, and he ended up with a lot of super awesome red zone opportunities that I don't think are going to really go anywhere. I think that they're doing a pretty good job of keeping everything intact. I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, but this is not the only thing that the Cowboys are going to be worrying about on the offensive side of the ball, but at least that domino has fallen. And Williams, for as, you know, maybe worried as people were, this being, or last year, kind of being the first time that we saw him featured for the first time in a long time. He had some injury problems along the way. Like, he did the thing. He's still pretty young in the grand scheme of things as well. I think that's another thing people overlook. So, yeah, dude, whatever we saw from him last year, I think we're just going to see more of the same. So, congratulations, Javonte. Yes. You earned it, baby.
He is 25 to Herms' point, so he's still – that's good for a running back. Would you trade a first for him in the non-point scoring season?
I think later one, sure. Yeah, I mean, unless we are to believe that the Cowboys' offense is going to get demonstrably worse, then I think it's absolutely worth it to attack the main piece of that backfield.
I think the defense is going to be terrible because they're going to spend all the money on the offense. I think the offense will be just fine. I agree. I'd probably trade a contending first. I don't know if I'd, you know, we've had talks about Ken Walker and where I would probably put Walker ahead of Javonte still right now, right? Or are you Javonte ahead of Walker?
I think Walker ahead of Javonte makes sense, but I don't think the gap is massive, if that makes sense.
Right. Yeah. On the rankings I'm looking at, he's RB24. I imagine that changes by next week when rankings come back out again after the combine.
Probably.
The Falcons franchise tagged Pitts. I'm not happy about this. I wish they kind of, you know, so I don't have to edit crap or get off the pot here. I wish they, I don't like this whole let's bring him back for a year and see how he does with Stefanski, but what do you think? Do you like it, or you just, you know, are we buying right back in? He's top eight-ish dynasty tight end, and let's just call it a day.
I mean, yeah, probably. I've definitely long been out, quote unquote, in the grand scheme of the Kyle Pitts journey, just because no matter what he did in the NFL, he was never going to amount to the hype that he came into the league with. And obviously it's been kind of weird ever since. Last year ended up being super good, especially toward the end. Shout out, what was it, like that 3-touchdown game he had against the Buccaneers
in the playoffs, or yeah. Yeah, like 47 points or something. That was awesome.
Yeah, it carried me a few places. So I've definitely warmed up a little bit, but still always a little bit skeptical with Pitts. And especially now that, you know, the changing in the offense with the coaching staff's not really the thing that concerns me. I do think that Kevin Stefanski, like if I was in charge of running a football team, that's the guy that I probably would have hired to be my head coach. I think it's going to be super cool and everything, but I don't love what they're going to have to deal with a quarterback. Like, I know Michael Penix got hurt at the end of last year. He'll probably have enough recovery timeline to be back before the regular season in 2026. But like, I wasn't that impressed by what we saw. Kirk Cousins, at least he has a history with Kevin Stefanski, because way before Stefanski was the head coach of the Browns, the last job he had was working with the offense with the Minnesota Vikings when Kirk Cousins was still there. So there is that. But like, Kirk is 40-ish, dude.
Well, we should probably get to a news piece that I had in the media nuggets. The GM announced they will cut Kirk Cousins before the season starts.
Oh, hey, look at that. Hey, we're all learning the news at the same time, friendos. That is why you have to come here to the Trade Addicts podcast.
Yes, Ian Cunningham said he will be released on the first day of the new league year. So, Yeah, so it's Penix.
That's honestly what holds me back. That is really kind of just the linchpin of the whole thing.
I saw an article like where free agents should go, and someone said the Falcons should sign Flacco, and that makes all the sense in the world to me. He played with Stefanski in Cleveland. He can help Penix, give him some time. They don't have to rush him back. He's not going to lose you games.
Not
and
that.
He would make London and Pitts look like $1 million.
Dude, so that would be fun.
Yeah,
I'm rooting for this. Let's will this into existence.
Yes, I agree. Flacco to the Falcons. It's like if you rearrange the letters, it's almost Falcons. Flacco and Falcons. There's a lot of letters intertwining. Yeah, yeah. Pitts or Laporta? They're right next to each other in the rankings.
I am a big Sam Laporta guy. We talked about it not too long ago on my own podcast. I had a lot of reasons in there for that, but I think people are sleeping on him a little bit. I think he needs to get a little bit more credit.
Pitts or Gadsden, the guy behind him?
I still got to go with Pitts. Gadsden's fun, but we still have a lot of incomplete information there.
Yes. You're hoping Gadsden's Pitts, honestly, right now. He's kind of the same archetype. So, okay. Rico's not expected to be back with the Panthers. They said, are we falling for Jonathan Brooks again? Are we doing this all over again? He's going to come back from his like third shredded knee in 3 years. Like, are you going back or are you hoping they draft someone? Or Tommy Blair said they should sign Ken Walker, which is making more and more sense as this goes along. So,
dude, I think that would actually be really fun. But I mean, if I'm the Panthers, I just go with whatever they have in Brooks. And at least from a dynasty perspective, am I going to be like all the way back in? No, but that's because even the market's not all the way back in. The acquisition cost for Brooks is still astronomically low. I don't think anybody's ever really going to be fully enthusiastic about it again, but that also means that if you do at least think it's a little interesting, you think that it's at least mildly intriguing, then just go out and send a late pick for him. It's not going to cost you absolutely anything. So I think this is one of those situations where even if you don't feel enthusiastic about the player, even if you don't love the player situation, et cetera, some things are just so cheap that you buy it anyway. And that's what we have here.
Yes, agreed. We'll talk rookies in a little bit, but let's just put Catron Allen on the Panthers and let's see what happens.
Ooh,
or Singleton, whichever Penn State guy you like more. Let's just put him on the Panthers and see what happens. I think we could lift that day two type of thing. All right. The Jets are going to use their franchise or transition tag on Breece Hall. They are not. He is going to stay a Jet no matter what. The GM basically said it. They're extending him or they're tagging him. There's no in between. There's no we're going to let him test it. For those who don't know what the transition tag is, they pay him like $11 million and they can match whatever offer sheet is given to Breece. So if the Chiefs offer him $40 million, they can say $40 million and the Jets get him. So Dynasty's question is, how low does Breece Hall drop in Dynasty now that the Jets are going to tag him? Also, does that make any sense for them? They played Braylon Davis over him a bunch and now admit he's a top five running back.
I think Breece is kind of fine where he is, you know, market-wise, whatever. I think just it's fair to not be super stoked about staying with the Jets. The Jets are not a good football team. It's not going to be a very good offense. But in terms of how I would approach Breece Hall in Dynasty, I do think that it is still worth investing just because they can't be that bad again, I don't think. And if they do even turn things around a little bit, Breece Hall is normally a running back who is going to get somewhere in the ballpark of like 80, 90 targets and stuff. The pass catching really didn't end up being as much of a thing last year. And if we just look at his career averages and stuff, that is the anomaly. It's definitely not something that is to be expected going forward. So I think just, you know, regression to the mean, et cetera, he'll probably be better next year. And if people are going to be a little bit sour on the whole Jets thing, then maybe it is just a good buying opportunity. So I think it's a beauty is the eye of the beholder type thing. And also like, dude, worst case scenario, it's only one more year. He'll be somewhere else.
They extend him. Yeah.
I keep forgetting that that's still on the table. I'm trying to keep us in the universe where he leaves eventually. I'm trying.
I'll help you be positive. If it's Kyler, I think it's better. I think if he has an actual competent quarterback keeping people out of the box, like I understand you can rip on Kyler all you want. He's miles better than anything the Jets have had over the last 5 years. So let's see who the quarterback is. I understand people wanting to jump off the bridge right now, and I'm kind of standing on the edge too. I completely get it. And let's just see who the quarterback is. If it's someone competent, I think we could actually make this a thing. But yes, Braylon coming back would freak me out a little bit. But if they were going to use Braylon, then I don't know why they would extend Breece. Just none of it makes sense. It's the Jets, though. None of it does. Okay. I just have a combine media nuggets segment. The Falcons GM said Cousins will be released. The Bears are getting calls on Tyson Bagent. Sure, you guys can have him. Whatever, if you guys are willing to give a third or a fourth for Tyson Bagent, sure, please take him. And the expectation is Tua will be released post June 1, but they're searching for trade candidates. Yeah, so am I. I don't see any out there. Anything to take away on bait? Like, are you buying Bagent? The idea that he could be some guy's potential starter? I don't know why Bagent would start.
I don't know if I'd go that far with it, but being a small school dude from, you know, the middle of nowhere, West Virginia, I'm rooting for him. You know, if nothing else, I will root for it because it's a cool story. But, you know, wait, his dad is the one that's like the arm wrestling champion, right? Isn't that the thing?
Yes, I think so. Now that you say that. Yeah.
On vibes alone, I would love for him to have some.
And he has tremendous hair. He has tremendous flowing locks. Yes, he's got quarterback hair for sure. Someone said it was like the Cardinals who were interested in him, and sure, I don't really want that, but
why not?
Let him a Bajant Brissett QB battle. Yuck.
Oh, oh Lord.
Yeah.
What a time one.
All right. Let's get to combine week. So quickly on the news front, Mendoza's not going to throw. He doesn't need to, guys. He's going one. He doesn't need to throw. Simpson is going to throw, which I think is important because Simpson's got some warts, and we'll let you rip into Simpson in a second. But let's just start at the top because there's a question from Haywood and also the homework I gave you, which was not upper tier players. But let's talk about upper tier players to start. Simpson is going to throw. Are you happy about that, or do you think he's kind of locked into what he was always going to be as QB2? Nothing's moving up or down. He's just kind of that. He's a tier by himself.
I mean, I think it's good for him to get out there and show at least kind of where he is on the development timeline for some of these teams. I think that is going to be a pretty key thing for him, because no matter what happens, I don't think he's going to be a week one starter in the NFL. He only has a handful of career starts under his belt, 15 of them to be exact, at the college level. So like, he is going to need time to sit down and season a little bit. But I think if he goes out there and shows specifically, you know, one of the things that I had mentioned in my article, improved ball placements would be something that would be kind of nice to show these teams, like, hey, I definitely have to sit for a little while, but I am at least this close to being able to be your guy, maybe in 2027 at the earliest, something kind of like that. And that could assuage some concerns there. So I don't know. I think that's going to be kind of cool. But, you know, beyond that, Ty Simpson is in a good position just because, like, the rest of the quarterback class is not very good.
Yeah, it's a huge drop. So someone said, one of the mocks I was reading said the Rams take him with one of their picks. That makes all the sense in the world to me. Let him sit behind Stafford on McVay's offense and just watch for a year. And he shouldn't see the field. And here's the thing that scares me about Simpson as a college player. He was a five-star prospect, as you mentioned, and he got beat out by Milrow, and he got beat out by Bryce, and all these things that we're saying are Simpson's like this high-end prospect, and now he got beat out for about 3 years by, I think we can admit that Milrow is not an amazing quarterback. He was a good game manager, but he wasn't some, you know, guy blowing college football up. So what did Alabama see in Simpson that they didn't like? And I understand he had a pretty good year, but to your point on the ball placement, it's really hard to miss Ryan Williams, and he did it quite often. So I would worry about him. The running backs, what do you want to see out of Love? Anything specific that are you wanting to see him run fat, like run a good 40, or are you wanting to see him do a good three cone? Anything that would make you just lose your mind over Love, or anything that would knock him down a tiny bit at all? Or is he just rock solid?
Nah, when it comes to Jeremiah Love, he's pretty unassailable. Like, he would have to go out there and trip over his own 2 feet in every single drill that he participates in.
Can you imagine that? Just trips on the 40?
I would be dumbfounded. I would be blown away. Yeah. It would be incredibly amusing. I'd feel bad for him, obviously, first and foremost. But the immediate second emotion would just be great amusement, a lot of joy. But he's the RB1 in the class. I think he would have to completely flop for something to change that. So in terms of him specifically, no. I think he's good no matter what he does.
And then we'll go just wide receiver top end, because there's a question on top five wide receivers in the class. So who's your favorite wide receiver in the class, and what are you hoping to see this week out of him?
It's tough. At least in terms of the bigger name guys, I do think that Casey Concepcion is a very fun player.
Finally, someone's on my side.
Dude, because, like, look, even let's just pretend that he doesn't even play wide receiver, and the only thing he does in the NFL is as a return specialist.
Yeah,
he will immediately become one of the best return specialists.
Yes.
Like as soon as he enters, he's already so good at things like that. But then he's also just a very good receiver. He's got quickness to work from the slot and on the outside. You can rotate him throughout the formation. Versatility is such a key thing in the league these days. Mm-hmm. The only thing I'm kind of concerned about, though, is the fact that, like, he's small. He is not a very large man. But I want to find out, like, how small. That's sort of the big thing. Like, I haven't checked it. Like, I don't know. Have they done the measurements, or is that something?
No, I think Combine starts in earnest tomorrow. We record on Tuesday nights for people who don't know. I think it starts tomorrow.
So I want to see that. I want to know exactly how small of a player we're working with before we get, you know, too deep into it. Because unfortunately, we would have had this information had he attended the Senior Bowl. But because of all the weird travel stuff, a lot of, you know, I was able to make it down, thankfully. It was something that I had a good time doing. But a lot of analysts didn't make it, and a lot of players didn't make it. Right. And Concepcion is one of those guys. So that, for me, is going to be big. But I don't think he's really in any danger of falling out of the first two rounds. I think he does end up being a first round pick. It wouldn't be the craziest thing in the world if he slides into early day two, but I think anything outside of the top 50, you know, kind of like with Love, like he would have to just flop and look absolutely terrible. Mm-hmm. But Concepcion, long-winded answer, that is the guy that I like.
A lot of people have put him on Buffalo in the back end of the first, which I think would be awesome, giving Allen someone kind of that versatile Swiss Army knife. The problem is all of Allen's wide receivers are like 5'11 and shorter, so I don't think you can give him another one of those. Short of Keon Coleman, obviously. But the question from Haywood Almanac, and also the homework I gave you, is kind of the non-upper tier players to watch out for at the combine. So who are kind of the, you know, we could say day two. Let's say day two for now. Day two guys who of NFL draft. Day two guys who you're interested in watching and seeing how they do this week. You can pick whatever position you want to start with, and we can go around the horn.
Absolutely. So when it comes to this rookie class, I think a lot of people are going to look at these receivers at the very, very top and think like, man, this is a super great group. But what is it really like after that? I have seen some people say they're not super thrilled. I have seen other people say that they think it's, you know, a little bit on the deeper side. I subscribe to this being a deeper class. I think that there are a lot of interesting names that could serve pretty solid roles for different NFL teams. And a couple of guys that really stood out for me at the Senior Bowl that I'm going to be super excited for at the combine. I'll start with Notre Dame wide receiver Malachi Fields. When I first got down to Mobile, I was kind of thinking like, okay, he's a big body guy. He's probably going to do just traditional X stuff. I don't really think he's going to be super versatile much beyond that. But by the end of the practice week, he showcased a pretty stellar and diverse route tree. He was able to gain a lot of really good separation from defenders on multiple routes and multiple areas of the field. And it really demonstrated to me like, oh, snap, this is a guy that you can use in a lot of different ways. I don't think he's necessarily going to be pigeonholed into just doing one thing in the NFL. And I saw not too long ago, I believe it was Daniel Jeremiah in his second mock draft. I don't know if he's done one since then, but
it's two.
He had Fields up into the first round already.
I know. So, and like, DJ's usually right about stuff like this. So he's,
yeah, man. Like, I've been impressed ever since I was down there. I have been doing my best to kind of like plant my flag as like the Malachi Fields dude. Like, this is the name that I am super stoked about.
Too bad
about,
DJ then, took it.
Yeah, fair. But hey, you know, great minds think alike, guys.
Yes, exactly.
But beyond Fields, I would just want to throw out quickly Kevin Coleman Jr. from Missouri. I think that he is obscenely fast. I think he would be a super fun sort of slot-based weapon for a lot of different teams. And the one landing spot that I've just become obsessed with because I can't get this out of my head is if you are the Giants and you don't want to pay Wandale Robinson all of that money, let him walk in free agency and just draft Kevin Coleman Jr. It will be so much fun. You'll give Jackson Dart fun people to work with. Malik Nabers coming back. That offense would be pretty chocked full a very good pass catching talent. I think that that's another name that people need to pay attention to. Yeah.
They said he timed at a 4.4 in the Senior Bowl. I would imagine he runs faster than that in the combine with combine timers, I would guess.
Yeah.
So
I would think so too. I think that's going to be a really fun one to watch for sure.
Yeah. Plus Malachi Fields back on him. He wears number 0 and he's 6'4". We should just continue to churn those out. Just whatever we can do. And anyone who wears 0, I know Russ hates that stuff, but like I'm all in on freaky numbers. Shahid wearing 22 as a receiver always just made me smile.
It's a power.
A couple names I've always liked just from college. I think Nick Singleton's going to just put up stupid numbers at the combine. He's going to put up, you know, the bench press 150 times. He's going to run probably a 4.4. I don't think he'll touch 3, but he'll get up to 4.4. His cutting, the 3-cone drill is going to be interesting for him because he's kind of a bigger bodied running back. I'm interested to see both Penn State guys because I think they will both put themselves firmly in the second round, day 2, maybe top end of the 3rd, but I think both of them are great. I don't know if you've watched him yet, Roman Hemby, and he's a jitterbug, this guy. I mean, he's not completely reliant on like cutting you out of your shoes. He's kind of he can make you miss, but he can also kind of put an arm out. He's smaller. I don't remember Hemby's size, but his measurables are going to be important to me too, because he's kind of a smaller dude. So he's one I'm watching just for measurables.
Although, real quickly,
yeah,
when it comes to Hemby, I think a lot of people are probably familiar with his work that he did last year, but the old school that he used to play at, shout out to the greatest university, the University of Maryland Terrapins, baby. Yes.
Okay. I think you were going to say James Madison.
Like Hemby is a guy that, you know, like, look, the Terps are not very good at football. It's fine. I don't really care that much about college sports, but I do like the Terps just because they're kind of the state team or whatever. And Herms is a big Maryland guy. I've just been rooting for it the whole time. I really want Roman Hemby to be, and also, like, it also speaks to the fact that, like, some of these schools, it's not just one running back. Like, Hemby and, I'm blanking, what was his teammate?
Kalen Black.
Yes. So we get, like, the two of them out of that backfield.
Yep.
Like you were saying with the Penn State dudes, we get Singleton and Catron Allen. I think that's
two Notre Dame guys.
There we go. The segue of the century, dude. Yeah. Jadarian Price, dude, like that dude, he's got it, man. I really
talk about someone who got lost in the shuffle, right? I mean, Jadarian Price was sitting behind a Heisman finalist, and it just sucks, right? I mean, it's one of those things where you wish he had another year just to show what he could do on his own, but it's just, go ahead. Dude, tell me about Price though. I love this pick. So go ahead. Tell me about Price. What you like about him?
Yeah, no, I mean, like, you got into a lot of the things that I think a lot of people are going to be saying. Like, it is a bummer that we didn't get that one true, like, workhorse season out of them. But when you look at his stats and just look at it on an efficiency basis, like, it worked out pretty well. The dude has pretty similar size, similar athleticism, and one of the things that's also really good for him, I was talking earlier about how it's awesome that Concepcion has some return skills. Teams absolutely love that in their players. It gives you multiple things that you can do for an NFL team, and Price actually had the most kick return yards per attempt in the NCAA last year at 37.5. Like, this dude was also an All-American with his backfield teammate Jeremiah Love in 2025. Like, this, it's not just Love. I think people are going to think about this running back class. They're going to immediately go there, but like, don't think of Price just as like Jeremiah Love's backup. He has a lot of talent in his own right. He deserves to have his own spotlight. And I'm kind of hoping that Indy is going to be that for him, to really be that first opportunity to be like, hey, that's my guy over there. He's doing his thing, but now watch me do my thing.
Yeah. We've left out a lot of the tight ends. I'm not going to say the sneaky one you have on your article so people go read it, but one I'm going to have is Justin Jolie. I'm very interested to see how he performs. Because I think a lot of people are starting to like him, and he's a very athletic tight end. And since we're throwing alma maters out there, RJ Maryland, dude's a beast. Everyone mm-hmm. should watch him. He was SMU's probably best receiver this year, and he was a tight end. Everyone should go watch RJ Maryland. He's awesome. We won't say the sneaky one because we'll have people come read the article. But Sadiq, what do you think of him, and what do you want to see this week? He's kind of the tier above all tiers tight end this year, right? He's kind of, I don't want to say he's Bowers, but he's Bowers in the scheme of tight ends this year. He's kind of above everyone else. So what do you think of Sadiq, and what do you want to see this week from him?
I think he's going to be a really good catch first tight end at the NFL level. I think he definitely has all of the skills that you want out of a guy who's going to be a big receiving threat, but I am not super sure about all of the blocking stuff. I'm also a little bit nervous just because, and I say this in the article too, he is not a small man. Of course, no. He is a very large dude listed at 6'3", 245 pounds. You hear that? That's not small. But relative to tight ends,
yes, right,
to the position that he plays, it's not exactly like we're talking about a guy who is going to be a physical equal to all of the defenders that he is going to have to block. And people get really sick of hearing this. It's like, well, why do I care if he's good at blocking? I don't get any fantasy points for that. But in order to get out onto the football field, especially as a tight end, you need to be able to catch the ball and you need to be able to block. Yes. And if he's taken out of rotation, if he splits those responsibilities with somebody, that's not going to be super cool. So I want to see from him specifically, I don't even really care how he does in, like, you know, like the gauntlet, doing all the, you know, pass catching and whatnot, things like that. Like, it'll be fun if he chooses to do those things. I think it's going to be great. But blocking stuff, like, I want to see that. It's not going to give us the full picture. Mm-hmm. We're not going to know everything about somebody's ability to block just from the NFL Combine, but it will be a good kind of first look to be like, hey, is this going to be a liability, or is this somebody that can get out there and be a full-time guy with a pretty healthy snap share?
Yep. All right, we'll end with this. And it doesn't even necessarily have to be at the combine, although I imagine they're going to be. The Herms guy, 2026. I'm not leaving, you know, the second round without blank. Who's the Herms guy this year?
When it comes to the second round, I really think that Malachi Fields is going to end up being that guy for me. But if I'm going to give some different names just to make things a little bit more interesting, and also to highlight some guys who unfortunately did not get invites to the NFL Combine, which really bothers me. A couple of favorites that I had down at the Senior Bowl, Jaden Ott, the running back from Oklahoma, sort of.
Don't watch him at Oklahoma. Watch him at Cal. Yeah, if you're going to film watch.
If you are somebody who is hearing Jaden Ott's name for the first time, it is a lot to catch up on. But TLDR, there was a transfer thing. It didn't go well. The year before, he was injured. It was a nightmare. He was really good way back. Go back and look at him in like 2022. I think if you watch some of those games and watch some of that film, you're going to be very impressed. But then also there was this small school guy, a D3 player, former college basketball player, walk-on at LSU, who is still pretty new to playing football in the grand scheme of things. That's Tyron Montgomery from John Carroll. He cooked corners in these drills in Mobile, like D1 corners, man, and was the absolute talk of the entire event. I am actually very surprised that his presence at the Senior Bowl did not earn him a chance to come work out at the NFL Combine. But, like, look, he, by his own self-admission, has only been playing for a short while. The first, you know, sort of tape, quote-unquote, that he got on film was him going through the U.S. Olympic flag football program, doing things that way. It's a very unconventional path, but when you watch him out there in those drills, he uses a lot of the same footwork that you would expect of a guy who played college basketball. He does know how to use his physicality to shake himself open and do stuff. I don't think he's going to be a super high NFL draft pick if he is selected at all. We're talking maybe like a 6th, 7th round type thing. But just in terms of the athlete that I saw and the drive that he has and the type of person that he came across as in a lot of the interviews and stuff, that is a developmental guy that I think people should keep their eye on. Very similar vibes in terms of how I felt. I think I came on to this podcast and talked about it when I was at the Senior Bowl that year. Ryan Flournoy was another guy now with the Dallas Cowboys, came from an obscenely small school out of nowhere and just cooked dudes. Very similar vibes. I'm getting a very similar wavelength that of Tyron Montgomery. I think that he is another name that people should definitely pay attention to.
I love that. And I'm looking at your article, just the list of people. We have four guys from LSU who severely underperformed, and this John Carroll guy didn't get an invite. Like, what are we doing? We don't need four LSU wide receivers at the combine. Let's just, that's enough. Okay, well, that was good combine talk. We'll have more rookie talk as we go, but now you know what comes next. Would you like to do trades or listener questions?
Well, they don't call it the listener questions addicts podcast, yes, so I think we should go with the trades.
That's great, yes. TradeX leagues are 12-team Superflex PPR 10 and premiums, 1.75 per tight end reception, 0.05 per return yard, and all except TA1 because they'll never break, they always hold. And we don't have any TA1 trades. We're going to start in TA6. And this was a fun one. AJ Brown for the 111 and a 28 first.
At this particular point in time, I mean, I'm so like prospect brained. I would probably just take the picks. I think that would be super fun. But I'm actually really curious to kind of hear your thoughts on just in terms of like the value of this for AJ Brown. Do you think that like those couple kind of firsts is like pricey? I genuinely don't know. I'm curious what you think.
So the irony is this was me.
Oh,
so
look at that.
I gave the picks away to J Mike. Hmm. Which I probably shouldn't have done because J Mike just always gets these picks right. But I was top three, or I guess I lost to Russ barely. No, not barely. He kicked my ass. TA8, I lost barely. AJ Brown is a buy for me because like he's either an Eagle and they're going to appreciate him more, or he's a Patriot. Right. Like, and that's awesome. We want him to be a Patriot. We want everyone to be a Patriot, but we're Pickens is a cowboy now. So the 111 to me, first off, the 28 first means nothing to me. I can get that back. Like, I don't believe in picks 3 years out.
Yeah.
So unless they go to Tyler, because Tyler somehow turns them into first, and I don't like that because he's very good at that. The 111 to me is such a scary pick, and you have no idea what that could be. Like, that could be Zachariah Branch, who everyone's like, you know, you could flip a coin on Zachariah Branch. It's literally split down the middle of people who like him and hate him. And that could be the second quarterback. I don't know if my synopsis of Simpson before told you anything. I do not like Ty Simpson. I do not think he's a very good quarterback. Mm-hmm. I think the fact that he's the second quarterback and is going to be a first rounder is literally just because of the talent around him. But that 111 is such a freaky pick. And I know people are going to say value, 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 and these go up. AJ Brown is at a discount right now. And if you told me a year ago I could get AJ Brown for the 111 and a 26 first, because that's kind of the same value. You can't say 27 first because everyone's valuing those, their weight in gold right now. But
true.
If you told me I can get him for the 111 and 26 first, I would have done that in a heartbeat. So I don't know what's changed about AJ that has freaked people out. I mean, he's 28. He's not 34, right? He's 28. He's still got plenty of good years left. And I know the Eagles thing is freaking everybody out. Sirianni basically, I didn't put in the news today because it's all rumors, but Sirianni apparently told Schefter he doesn't exactly know what's going to happen with AJ. So it feels like it's getting closer to a divorce more than he's going to be an Eagle. I think if I were to bet real money on it, he's not an Eagle in week one, but that's good, right? I don't see many places where he would be traded for where he wouldn't be treated as a one. Cause why would you trade for him then if you're going to make him your third best wide receiver? So that's the rationale behind the trade. So now what do you think of the trade?
Oh, yeah. No, I think what you're saying makes a lot of sense. I know that there are kind of a lot of varied opinions because of the uncertainty of his future. But like the version that you lay out there, it makes a ton of sense. Mm-hmm. He's AJ Brown, dude. Like no matter where he goes, he's going to be super good. But I think maybe where people get hung up is the possibility of like if he sticks around with the Eagles, like is that going to be gross? Because I was looking into, you know, keep trade cut kind of, you know.
Yeah.
Setting a, you know, baseline for the marketplace the other day, preparing for my own podcast. And I noticed like Jalen Hurts himself is at like QB 10 or something. Like people are just kind of low on the entire offense. And I was thinking to myself like, okay, well, is it going to be that bad again? With Kevin Pitullo is no longer the offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. They have already done something else. Now, like Sean Mannion, if I remember correctly, I think that's who they brought in.
And Grizzard is the passing game coordinator who was the Bucs OC. So they brought in a good staff to fill in for Pitullo.
Yeah, like I think about if that was the worst that it is, it can only go up from here. And those two guys, like you're talking about being in charge now, like Hurts, I think was like the QB 11 in fantasy points per game or something.
Yeah.
So if that's the floor, then like, he's going to be better than that. AJ Brown's definitely going to be better than that. I think that, you know, the only thing I'm a little bit worried about, I guess, would just be Dallas Goedert being as obscenely efficient and catching all those touchdowns again. But like, for the most part, the whole thing should just get better. So I love it. I especially when it comes to like the 111, like you were saying, I recently just finished up a mock draft for an article that's coming out very soon. You could probably get some pretty good players around that mark. Don't get me wrong, but definitely nothing to the level of AJ Brown. So,
And you can find that article at FTN Fantasy. That is CH Herms at FTN Fantasy.
There we go.
And on Goddard, he's a free agent. I can't imagine he doesn't come back unless the Eagles are just going to do the Goddard thing with Calcaterra and, you know, Goddard's going to go to the Cardinals because that's usually the path that these tight ends go. But he can't be that efficient again, right? I mean, no. Goddard is tier one 101 regression candidate. He almost has to be. He had like, I'm making these numbers up. He had like what felt like 12 touchdowns on 40 catches. I mean, you just can't repeat that. It's just, it's the craziest thing I've ever seen. So yeah, I think AJ Brown's a buy. I know I'm probably in the minority on that, but I'm fine with whatever kind of value he's going for. All right. The next one is TA8. Joe Burrow and Deebo Samuel for Justin Herbert and a 28 first. This was also me. I was busy this week.
Well, dude, you know, it's time to strike. The iron is hot. Rookie season's here. People are stoked. Go out and get those deals done. I absolutely applaud it. And if you're going to get deals done, I think deals like this are pretty good. I've been coming around on Justin Herbert like a lot more than I thought, dude. So it didn't end up making the final cut. I had to edit a bunch of stuff down, but I was doing a bunch of research for stuff about Justin Herbert and kind of looking at like the splits in terms of his efficiency last year between the first half of the season before his offensive line completely exploded and how good he was after his offensive line completely exploded. And it's not his fault, man. It's not his fault. Like his time to pressure just went like that time got really short. Defenders got to him right away. Of course, things weren't going to be going very well, but like we saw the proof of concept for what this offense can be if they just let it rip, if they pass a little bit more often, and he was pretty awesome. We like what we saw out of Rondae Gadsden. I think Ladd McConkey is going to end up being a little bit better next year, but you know, not to deviate too far away from Herbert. Point being, if we like what we saw in the first half and we like Mike McDaniel, I want to be going out and getting Justin Herbert as much as I can. So like long-winded way of saying I'm taking that side. I love Joe Burrow, but you know, you're getting rid of an older receiver in Deebo. You're staying within a pretty good tier at quarterback and then getting a first on top of that. I think it's a pretty solid thing for everybody involved there, but I am going with the Herbert side.
Yes. So I gave away the Herbert side and I'll explain why. So the context here, This is Tyler and I. Tyler has been trying to get Justin Herbert from me for 2 months now. And like all sorts of trades. I mean, every trade you can possibly imagine. And he sent this one to me, and I waited a good 3-4 days before I really started to think about, like, I sat on this one for a while. I got this maybe right after the show last week. And first off, I know it's trade X and we do all these in a vacuum, but I have to say this one piece because it matters for the context of the trade. I do have for Chase. Sure. I wanted the stack. So
there you go.
That's right. Why that was what broke the tie for me. Cause I agree that Herbert and Burrow are not a first apart in the rankings. I think Burrow's still over Herbert. And I agree with you on the line thing. Like, ask how, whether you believe Drake May should have been second in MVP or not, ask him how easy it was to throw when the Seahawks were in his face every 5 seconds, like last in the Super Bowl. So it's hard. And I agree with you completely. I think the offense should be better. Keenan Allen's a free agent, but he should be a Charger for as long as he wants. They should just give him a couple million bucks every year to catch the ball 60 times for 800 yards. That's what he's built for. So I agree that Herbert and Burrow are not a 28 first apart. And Debo, who cares? I think he's gonna go somewhere annoying and boring. And if he goes anywhere with any significance, I probably win this trade. But I don't think he's going to. The stack was what added that little section for me to. Plus, it's just fun to have a Burrow Chase stack. I don't have any. I wanted a Burrow Chase stack, so that's fun for me. So I probably lost the trade just on pure in a vacuum value, but there was something fun about this trade that I just wanted to do. So that's kind of why I did it.
Honestly, man, though, like completing a stack, that's a dub, dude.
Yes.
Because I think it was, I believe it was the two of us in TA10. I think we had made a similar deal so that
it was literally myself. It was my first day in TA10. Yes. And I gave you Burrow.
In
the Chase deck. Yeah.
I completely understand the rationale. And honestly, dude, and in this situation, everybody wins. Perfect deal. Right. 10 out of 10, zero notes, that rules.
Excellent. Perfect. And again, like the 28 first, I can get that back. Like if I blow it up, I can get it back. So I don't believe, like I said this already, I don't believe in like picks that far out. You can always get those back. 27 was a little bit of a different thing because like a lot of people in 25 didn't want to trade 27 first away, even though they were 2 years out. But it's because 27's like now becoming the God class. Like it's going to be five quarterbacks and Jeremiah Smith and all these other people. It's going to be a really disgusting class. So it's going to just, Ryan Williams is going to be like the seventh best player in the draft, which is crazy.
It's going to be nuts. I honestly, like, I try not to get too far into the future, especially because like we're only just now getting into the official beginning of the process for the 26 guys, but like dude, the 27 class. Oh boy, that's going to be a real doozy.
Did it surprise you? We didn't talk about this, obviously. Did it surprise you Dante Moore went back? Or do you think he needed another year?
I think he needed another year, and I also think he needed to dodge the bullet of the Jets. So I think from that perspective, he did the best thing. Like, it was beyond just like a personal player development choice. That was a business move. And a man who is that smart already, I trust his judgment, at least as far as that goes. So, but congrats. Honestly, dude, I really like him. I remember his when he was at UCLA, like they would always be on super late. You know, cause I'm an East Coast guy. Those games started at like 10 o'clock at night. Like I would usually just be working on articles and stuff, and I would have those games on in the background. Like he's got zip to his ball, man. He really has a good arm, dude. Like I think he's going to be a fun guy at the next level, but only with a little bit more time.
Congrats, Dante. You traded the Jets for the Dolphins because the Dolphins are 100% tanking. So yeah, congrats. It'll be so interesting to see if he's the number one quarterback in that class, by the way, just like with Arch and Sayan and all those other guys coming. It'll be interesting. Okay, moving on. Zay Flowers for Malik Willis in a 28 second. This was not me. I don't have any more trades.
I look at both sides of this, and I see the appeal for both. I think that's a win for both people. Because like, if Malik Willis ends up signing one of those deals where he is going to be sort of the bridge option for whoever, if he gets a contract to a similar size of what like the Jets gave Justin Fields or something, that's not going to shock me. And then Zay Flowers, like, look, the Ravens were kind of a mess last year. It was gross, especially after Lamar came back later in the season from, I want to say it was like a toe injury or whatever it was. Yeah. But like, Flowers still got it done. He yeah. still got it done, especially on like a per route basis. You look into yes. some of the nitty gritty with some of those stats. He was unbelievable. This is the exact promise that they were hoping for, taking him in the first round. He's developing into the bona fide star. I think it's going to be fun. I think the only reason maybe his value isn't a little bit higher and why you can't get maybe a little bit more for Flowers is because people are kind of scared off on what's his name? Declan Doyle.
Yes.
The new OC.
The Ben Johnson disciple. Yep.
Not only that. So
who's younger than both of us, by the way.
Exactly. That's the craziest thing. It's so weird that there is an offensive coordinator for an NFL team that's younger than me. I can't wrap my head around this. I feel so ancient now. It's crazy. Yeah.
it's gross. In that same article that put Flacco on the Falcons, by the way, he put Malik Willis on the Steelers. On a 3-year deal. Steelers fan? Are you liking that?
I mean, by the time that we got to the end of that draft, I think I had become a big fan of them taking Malik Willis to begin with. So I've like, obviously all of those quarterbacks takes like aged yeah. poorly from that draft class for yeah. sure. But nah, dude, I think it would be kind of fun. I mean, it would be interesting to see if they kind of just let it ride with like Will Howard or something, just because I don't know, maybe give the offense a little bit of a harder reset, give the team a little bit more of a harder reset.
Do you lose TJ though, if you do that?
I mean, probably. I think he probably doesn't want to stick around in a situation like that, but I'm also thinking about a scenario that's not going to happen because you don't hire Mike McCarthy to do a hard reset. So, yeah, you know what? Whatever. Malik Willis, I think, would be a lot of fun. It would be yeah. fun to watch him run that offense.
Yeah. I think the upside's on the Willis side, but I get both sides, like you said. I think if Malik Willis is the Steelers starting quarterback, I think this is a winning trade for the Willis side, but you're taking a risk, right? It's, you know.
Yeah.
Your game theory statistics, there's a 70% chance he's a starting quarterback, so that's his value type of thing. So let's get to the super big trade. This is going to take a second. The 103, the 108, the 109, Kyle Manungai, AJ Barner. That's the 103, 108, 109, Kyle Manungai, AJ Barner. For Omarion Hampton, CMC, and a 28 second that just had to be there.
A lot to chew on. That is a lot to chew on. Man, I always struggle with really big trades because you have to pare it down. You have to do the whole thing. But
yeah, you have to cut it, right? So the 103, is Hampton worth the 103? Let's start with that, and then we'll cut the rest.
Man, dude, some of these receivers.
He would be the third best player in this class, by the way.
I think, yeah, there's a really good argument. That's how
you probably have to look at it. So
if you need the running back and you don't want to take one of those receivers, if you get a Omarion Hampton for it, you're looking pretty good.
Yeah. All right. So let's say a Hampton's worth the 103. Is CMC worth kind of the rest of that? Two picks, Manungai. That's a lot for CMC. I know it's CMC, but I didn't mention this. Trent Williams might not be back with the Niners, by the way. He might be a cap casualty. And if he's not there, that would scare me a little more.
No, the offensive line was a bit of a problem for CMC. I remember I looked back. I in season I did a weekly usage report for FTN, and at the very end of the season I did one where I kind of just looked back at the full season. And one of the things that was kind of not super great for Christian McCaffrey was a lot of that blocking. The value right. that he had came so much through his receiving work, and the line not really creating those line yards for him to get that kind of space is only going to get worse, like you said, with Trent Williams not being there. But like, I would kind of put it like this though. Like, this is going to sound kind of weird, but I think it makes sense. How good you think CMC is going to be and how good you think the 49ers are going to be, I think, kind of just comes down to where you're at with like Ricky Pearsall. Because Brandon Ayuk's not going to be around. Like he has played his last game for the 49ers.
Yeah, he's gone. And
George Kittle popping that Achilles, man. Like he's probably not going to play at all next year. So you have to be sure that Ricky Pearsall is good to be like the driving force of that passing game. Because if that doesn't work and it's a little bit difficult for Brock Purdy to get his hands into some of these receivers, it's only going to get worse for the man in the backfield. So eye of the beholder, man, eye of the beholder when it comes to CMC. I don't think I want to pay that expensive of a price considering how weird the ecosystem is about to get probably.
Yeah.
But it's also CMC. So I could be talked into it, but it is a little rich for my blood.
Yeah, I agree. I think I like to pick side. By the way, just a quick thing. I know we're talking about a lot of rookies. Give me Heidenreich on the Niners. Put him in Shanahan's system as like Debo 2.0. I love Eli Heidenreich. I think if you haven't seen Eli Heidenreich, go watch his tape. He played for Navy. He had like a billion passing yards and a billion rushing yards. He did literally everything for Navy. He did everything, everything. He was like their quarterback who was their number one running back. It was a very fun guy to watch.
All right.
So it looks like, I have no way of actually telling this, it looks like they turned around and sent Omarion Hampton and CMC for the 101 and the 202.
Baller.
Really? I kind of like Omarion Hampton and CMC. I feel like he traded too much and then didn't get enough back. Like, are you looking at the sheet? Let's do it this way.
Yeah.
Let's do it this way. Now you do the 103, the 108, and Burner for the 101 and the 202.
Yeah, I mean,
you're trading a lot to get Jeremiah Love or Mendoza for that matter, but it's probably Love. I don't know why you would take Mendoza.
I think my initial reaction was mostly just the joy of what it feels like to get the 101. But yeah, now that we've kind of looked at it this way, dude, this package is coming out as a pretty serious winner in this entire thing.
Well, do you want to put names to it? Let's try and put names to it. So the 103 is your first favorite wide receiver. So let's say it's Tyson. And then 8 and 9 are probably, God, the way this is going, Emmett Johnson, because every freaking draft analyst loves Emmett Johnson. just every single person. And you know, the 109 is the 109 to me is such a funny spot. The last two 109s in rookie drafts have been Brian Thomas and Emeka Ebuka, who I hated both of them. And I missed out on both of them because I'm like, I'm not spending the 109 on some guy who might not play very much. And I missed them both. The 109 is such a cursed little spot. That's going to be like Zachariah Branch, 100%, right? Like that's going to be like first round Zachariah Branch, who no one's going to really want, but they're going to take him anyway, and he's going to be great. So yeah,
I can definitely see that as a realistic scenario. Either him or like, I think maybe like whichever one of the Penn State running backs goes to a spot that people like. I think people are going to talk themselves into that, but like,
This is a tough, I think it's a lot for the 101 and the 202 because you're giving and you get that and a 28 second.
Yeah. I mean, you know what, the more we're talking through this, the more we're looking at it. I think I'm with you on this. It's fun. If you are really that big of a believer, but like, well, I guess
you're not a McCaffrey believer. You just traded him again.
Oh no, I meant like if you're a believer in Jeremiah Love, if you're a believer, like I get the excitement of getting that pick, but yeah, like giving up all that to get that pick. Now, I would kind of like to ask you this though. Let's say for all intents and purposes, this person is intending to use this pick on like Fernando Mendoza instead. What if this is just a thing for them to guarantee for themselves, I need to get my quarterback? Does that change it for you at all? I mean, I don't think it does for me, but I'm kind of just throwing it out there for the sake of discussion.
No, because the Russ Fisher rule as you know, as a Trade Addicts basically alumni at this point, is draft for value and trade for need. And that would freak me out if you're drafting for need. So I'm trying to figure out.
It's just like the trade market in TA for quarterbacks is pretty pricey. I guess that was kind of like my only thing. Like it would be the cheapest investment cost you might get at that point, but I digress. Largely, you are correct. Yes.
I'm looking at the guy who traded for the 101. He doesn't have running backs or quarterbacks, so I have no idea what he's going to do with it. He's got neither. So he's clearly rebuilding, but if you're rebuilding, why did you give up all the picks? I don't know. This is a weird trade.
The more we deal at it.
Yeah. Plus, Manungai is not like chopped liver, right? I mean, Manungai is a starting running back in fantasy. I mean,
dude, I thought what we got out of Kyle Manungai last year was super, super impressive. Because I've heard some people say, like, oh, maybe the Bears might end up going, you know, for another running back. You know, like Swift's getting older, whatever they could add to that. Why? Why would they do that? Like, they did last year, and it clearly worked out just fine, man. Like, I think they're just going to run it back with the duo they got.
Yeah. All that said, David Montgomery, I know you're about to be cut by the Lions. Come home, David. We miss you. Please come home.
That'd be kind of fun.
Take Swift out. I miss David Montgomery. It's sad that he didn't get to be a part of this Bears offense because he would have been an animal.
He deserved it, man.
Yeah. All right. Maybe the most fun trade of the day. TA11. Ashton Jeanty and Brian Thomas Jr. for Quinshon Judkins and Nico Collins. For those who forget, Judkins' injury was a broken leg. It was not muscle. He's going to be ready for – he's not, you know – having knee reparations or anything going on. He's going to be fine for week one. So what do we do?
I don't know, man. Look, what makes this kind of difficult for me is that each one of these guys carries huge question marks. So you're kind of just like picking your favorite question mark. Like Jeanty, it's easy. Like what is the Raiders offensive line going to look like? That's going to be something that we're only going to figure out in time. Brian Thomas Jr., what's going on with the Jaguars offense in general? Like, and I'm not even going to touch the Travis Hunter thing. We definitely don't have that much time, but that's kind of confusing. The Texans are the Texans. Everybody knows their problems. And then Judkins, I love Judkins, but the Browns, I think they're losing some pieces on that offensive line to free agency and stuff. There are also some older guys on that. I don't know how good that blocking is going to be. So they're tanking too,
by the way. So Shadur is probably your quarterback again.
And I don't really know how good I feel about that in the grand scheme of things either. So at least for me and my comfort level, I really
who's
believe
the best player in this deal.
The best player in the deal is definitely Ashton Jeanty, but I don't think he's like so much better, relatively speaking, than like a Nico Collins that it's like a runaway thing. It's a pick your poison, to be honest. Yeah. This one's tough, dude.
I'm not. I was going to say I'm heavy Jeanty, but I'm really not because Judkins could be a top 12 running back again, like he was. I mean, Judkins, I'd have to look, but I would imagine just based on memory, Judkins had to be a top 12 running back in 25. I can't imagine he wasn't. And Nico, this is another thing I didn't put in the news. The Texans GM said, like anyone who says we're trading Stroud is stupid, basically. They're not moving on from Stroud.
No point.
This is really tough. You're making a gamble on Thomas, right? Because if Thomas is back to what he was a year ago, this is runaway Jeanty side.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, if you really think that it's going to work out, and plus, like, whether he even gets back fully to what we saw with him at the end of his rookie year with Mac Jones or whatever, I do at least buy the future for Trevor Lawrence. I think I want to say it was the last time I was on here. I went on a pretty long diatribe about just being completely done with Trevor Lawrence. And then he just goes out there and has a career year and makes me look bad. Yes. But I think it also, I don't know. I you have to be prepared to pivot. When you're presented new information, you have to be prepared to pivot. And that's kind of what I've been doing with the Jaguars in general. So, you know what? Screw it. I believe in Tony Khan. I believe in AEW. I am going to go with the Ashton Gentry.
Do you believe in Joe Hendry, though?
I do believe in Joe Hendry.
Yeah, they're excellent. Okay.
Such a fun guy. Such a fun entrance, man.
they ran that gimmick into the ground with him coming out of like trash cans, though. They needed to pump the brakes on that. This isn't a wrestling show, though. It could be. Maybe Herms and I are going to do a wrestling show. All right, moving on to listener questions. Tommy Blair at FF Tommy B. What is evergreen in your rookie evaluation process and what varies year to year? Before Herms answers, for those who don't know what evergreen means, evergreen is kind of a radio podcast term of timeless. It can be like, you know, you can pick it up and talk about it at any time. So Herms, what's evergreen in your process and what varies year to year?
I think the most evergreen thing is that this class is this class. They are not next year's. They are not the year before them. You have to look at what you have in front of you. I think that a lot of
people... I'm laughing at that because the next question is we're comparing the two classes.
But it's good to lay down that preface, though, because like it is a good exercise to do as like a secondary function. I think once you really sit down and take stock of what it is for what it is, you're able to grow an appreciation for what is in front of you. So I think like that is the thing that I try to do. And then also I don't really change how I go about looking at the different players at the different positions. I am the type of person, I look for guys who fit archetypal buckets. I like to try to look for traits and try to project how I think a team could be likely to use them at the next level, whether you are going to be the lead guy in a committee if you're a running back, whether you're probably going to be the 1B complement, maybe a little bit more for pass catchy stuff. Figuring things out like that and trying to place guys, not just with specific teams, but with specific functions in offenses is the thing that I really try to do, because fantasy impact varies from there. There are certain guys who will do certain things for a football team that aren't going to be nearly as important for fantasy. I look at somebody like, Jacoby Lane, I think, out USC. I think he's a very good wide receiver. I think he will stretch the field for whatever team ends up taking him, and it's going to be super cool. But a guy like that, that's going to be doing a lot of wind sprints that might only get like 4 targets a game or something, I'm not going to be nearly as interested. So I think when you look at things like that, you just try to go and you try to put these players in buckets and you try to figure out what they're probably going to do. You can kind of whittle down the players that you're going to be interested in, because you just focus on the guys like, hey, that's going to score a bunch of fantasy points. That's probably not going to score a bunch of fantasy points. And as long as you kind of stick to that and really know those types of things you're looking for, that is going to be the most important thing you do no matter what the class. But then whatever changes every year is the players. So you just have to be you have to be willing to just learn new names, learn new things, all sorts of stuff. Try not to let helmet scouting be a thing that weighs you down just because a player went to a school that another player went to that either didn't do very well in the pros or ended up being a superstar. They're unrelated. It has nothing to do with one another. They played, what uniform they're wearing, the helmet on their head.
It's the Ohio State QB fallacy, right? Like every Ohio State QB is going to be a first rounder, but not all of them have worked out. I don't have a rookie evaluation process, so I'm going to say this. You talk about Jacoby Lane, a name we don't talk about enough for the 27 draft class. Jaden Mayav is a dude. That quarterback for USC is a dude, and he's going to be a first rounder for sure. He'll be pressing against Dante Moore for that top spot. Okay. Haywood's Almanac. He said, where's the absolute best landing spot for stud Jeremiah Love regards to scheme and situation opportunity? The answer to this was just re-sign Javonte Williams, unfortunately, in my opinion. But it's the Chiefs, right? As much as I hate to say it.
We've tried to wish cast this so many times just to put a running back on the Chiefs. But in this specific instance, I'm actually kind of excited about it, because Eric Bieniemy is back. he is coming back to take over as offensive coordinator because Matt Nagy decided to take the job over with the Giants. He's not going to be involved anymore. And I think that the last time the backfield looked really good in Kansas City was under Bieniemy's watch. He himself was a very talented running back for a very long time. He really knows how to handle those things and scheme up some stuff that's going to look good. And we know that he's going to get a ton of that volume there too. I would feel very bad for everybody's favorite violent runner, Isaiah Pacheco, but look,
he's a free agent anyway. He's going to go somewhere.
That's
fun.
Right.
Yeah. Because so,
if you're a late enough pick, your rookie contract is only like 3 or 4 years. Yeah. So okay, the runway is wide open.
Yeah.
Let's just do it.
I want Pacheco to go to Dallas with Javonte. I want him to be kind of the thunder and lightning backfield.
That'll be
2 points on Love to the Chiefs. One, or I guess three. One, I know the Chiefs get all these shiny toys. I hate it too. Everyone get over it. They had a bad year. Eric Bieniemy was the Bears running backs coach, to Herms's point. So just go watch the Bears rushing offense to see how good Bieniemy can be with running backs. He made Kyle Manungai look like a first round pick. And the last point, everyone's going to do the Edwards-Hilaire thing. Let's just say it all together. Jeremiah Love is much better than Clyde Edwards-Hilaire. He is. He's much stronger. He's faster. He's everything better than Clyde Edwards-Hilaire. Clyde Edwards-Hilaire was a running back who was propped up by the greatest offense in the history of college football. He just was. And this is not the same thing. Jeremiah Love is a tremendously better player than Clyde Edwards-Hilaire. So, on that note. Now we're going to do the exact opposite thing that Herm says. We're going to combine the 25 and 26 rookie classes. How many 26 rookies would go in the first round in that hypothetical draft? Is it just me or is the real NFL draft more wide open than normal this year? The answer to that second part is yes, because there's a lot of big defensive studs this year.
Oh,
there's
Downs is
a dude. Arvel Reese is a dude. The whole Ohio State defense is going in like the first round.
Pretty much.
Sonny Styles is great. He needs to work on some things, but he's N'Kobe Dean 2.0. I mean, there's a lot of fun defensive players coming out. So yes, that's why it feels more open. And there's a lot of big offensive linemen like Mauaga and Fano, and there's a bunch of others. So let's combine the rookie class. I have my answer to how many 26 rookies would go in the first round. So you want to just mock it real fast? You just want to go really quickly down and just say number one would be Genty still.
Probably.
Love would go two.
I think
last year. I forget the quarterbacks already.
I think I would maybe prefer Jeremiah Love, honestly. Because for me, like, Genty and Hampton were kind of close.
Oh, that's right.
A little bit for me last year. But
that's right. Cam Ward.
You could go either way.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Love would go two. Hampton three. Are we at Ward and Mendoza yet? Or are we...
I'd rather take... this is tough though, because I'm a big Jackson Dart guy. The hardest.
You're not allowed
part...
to do that though. You're not allowed to. You're not allowed to do Monday morning quarterback. You can't put him in the first round now.
Look, I can bring receipts. I had so many of those late first round picks where I got zero shares of Amika Igbuka because I took Jackson Dart every single time.
That's fine. I'm looking at the 2025 rookie draft for trying to find an old rookie draft. I still don't know how to use MFL. I've been on it for 4 years and I still don't know how to do it. So we're at three running backs. Are we at the quarterbacks yet?
Yeah, I think Mendoza could get in there for sure.
So that's one.
I think at least two of these receivers compare extremely favorably to the top of, you know, last year's class. I think a lot of people like Carnell Tate's really, really fun.
Yes.
I also really like Mekhi Lemon, just as a little bit more like the smaller kind of speedy dude doing that kind of thing, more in
right
that kind of mold as well.
But we're comparing them to who, right? Like Teteroa and Abuka, right? Is that Golden? Get the hell out of here. Like, get your ass out of the first round. And then Tyler Warren and Colston Loveland.
Yeah.
So I had three when I did this exercise.
Three.
Mendoza, maybe. Love, and pick a receiver.
Pretty much. Yeah. If you want to shoehorn two receivers, go right ahead. But if you can only get one, yeah, I think it's a very small quantity of guys from this class versus last year's.
Yeah. Because Sadiq isn't anything that Warren and Loveland were. He's not the same guy who can do it all type of player. Yeah, because then when you get into like Harvey and Judkins and Henderson, I mean, the 26 class gets worse and worse as we continue to add these guys in. And
the running backs are definitely a pretty big difference. Like, one of the things I will say about this class that we're about to have, I do like a lot of the running backs. I think it is a little bit deeper than it gets credit for. But compared to last year's class, dude, the 2025 rookie running backs were just gnarly. It's not necessarily the new guy's fault, but we were just so spoiled with what we got out of last year that it's going to be hard for any of those guys to really measure up, besides, you know, Love, as we kind of mentioned. But
And of course, we have to put Shedeur Sanders in the first round of this mixed draft. So,
of course, yes,
that takes a spot. I kind of feel bad that I rip on Shedeur as much as I do, but then I really don't. And then I play the Mel Kiper like crying on national television, and then I remember it's okay.
Way too personally. Like, Mel, this is not about you, my guy.
More wash than laundry, dude. He said rank the top five rookie wide receivers in this class. I think it's a pretty clear five, especially if you like Concepcion as much as you do, right? Tate, Tyson, Boston. Who am I missing? Concepcion and Lemon. Yeah, that's the five. So let's do it this way. He said, how is this year's rookie wide receiver class compared to years past? So let's try and compare them against 25, right? So the top five wide receivers last year were Abuka, Tet. I'm going to say Hunter for the sake of this argument because he was at the time.
True.
I'm missing one.
A lot of people like Burden.
Burden. And screw it, for the sake of argument, Golden. Because I'm not putting Higgins in over Golden. He wasn't there early.
A lot of people like Golden, yeah. So
yeah, so it's deeper this year than last year. I'm not sure. This is a fun question. Who's the number one of those 10? Is it Tet still?
I think probably, yeah. Like,
there's a lot of Monday morning quarterback with Tet, by the way, because a lot of people didn't like Tet. And then he went four and people switched. So,
dude, he's a baller, man. It's pretty hard to top Tet. But I think once we get after that, like, it gets a little bit closer with Igbuka. And I say that as somebody who really liked Igbuka.
Yeah, no, you did. Yeah.
But, like, these guys are also just really good.
Yeah. Yeah, I think when you compare it to years past, I think it's not 21 or whatever the chase year was. Like, there's nothing like that. This is a fine class. I think we're going to get a lot of these going forward, by the way. Short of next year where, like, Jeremiah Smith and Ryan Williams and a bunch of other people are coming, I think we're just going to have a lot of fine rookie classes, right? Because college football is just an offensive game now, and there's going to be a lot of athletic guys who play college football, and they're all going to be wide receivers. So,
yeah,
sure. Pick your favorite.
I guess if we are going to try and retrofit it to, like, sort of anything, the thing that kind of just popped into my brain was, like, that class where we had – the group of, like, QJ, Jordan Addison, Zay Flowers, and JSN, like, all kind of get drafted, like, really
close. That was 23, together. I think.
Yeah. Like, if we're going to say there are any sort of similar vibes, that would be the vibe that I assign, just because there are going to be a lot of those guys taken so early that we're going to have similar issues.
You have no idea which one's going to be good, though.
Exactly. Yeah, it's just going to be like, well, what landing spot do you like better? Well, which prospect did you like before you even knew the landing spot? And then you're going to, like, it's going to be a lot of on-the-fly kind of algebra in our heads when we're doing these rookie drafts, but it'll be a similar kind of fun.
You could like Tate over Tyson, But if this is one of the mocks, if Tyson's a Saint and Tate's a Brown, you're going to like Tyson over Tate pretty dang quickly. Bingo. So, yeah, I get it. Okay, Dynasty's questions. Are you in or out on Lamar for the coming season? Where is he in your Dynasty QB rankings right now? What are you giving for him? Stock is down after a bad year.
I'm still in on Lamar, dude. When it comes to the game of football, he is one of the very few players who is capable of breaking it. Like, he is just such a different kind of guy. I still have him in my top five Dynasty quarterbacks. I think I haven't readjusted this one a little bit. I think probably like fourth or so.
Yeah,
three or four. But yeah, I mean, the only thing that I'm a little bit concerned about is the whole Declan Doyle thing. The fact that we don't really know what he's going to be. Yeah. He's still very young. He doesn't have a lot of experience. But I will say, beyond just being a Ben Johnson disciple, he also, if I remember correctly, spent a lot of time learning as a member of like Sean Payton's staff. I think he was also a guy that learned from him a little bit. So like, at least the pedigree there is really good. But yeah, dude, Lamar Jackson is Lamar Jackson. I hate that he got hurt. I hate that it was a little bit sluggish. But like, I assume that he's going to be healthy. I assume that the team is still probably going to be pretty good. And I'm assuming that he's still fast. And as long as he's still fast and as long as he still runs, like, I don't care. He's Lamar Jackson, dude.
Yeah. He's probably three or four. It depends on where you are on Daniels, right? That's kind of the decision. Yeah. And keep in mind, everybody, and I've said this on the show plenty of times, he was sluggish in the back half because he was hurt. He came back early. He needed to get in the playoffs. He tried. He played through it. He was sluggish because he was hurt. He was not healthy. So don't stick the back end of last year on his like permanent record like you when you were a kid, right? Like he had a bad half of the season because he wasn't healthy. He's the third or fourth best quarterback. He's worth two firsts, probably. Oh, yeah.
He's a two-time league MVP. They don't just hand that award out.
I know. Like, you know? Yeah. No, I think it's pretty clear. I think he's top five, and that's being conservative. And if you don't like him, then get a haul for him. Don't panic right now.
The only thing I will say on this, though, just very quickly, because it kind of ties into something that I mentioned earlier. The only thing that bothers me is the sort of hypocrisy from the marketplace when it comes to Jackson versus Jalen Hurts, because like Jalen Hurts is a year younger and a pretty similar like archetype of player in terms of like the value proposition that they're bringing to your team with their legs and stuff. Mm-hmm. And the gap between them is like, cause like I said, last time I checked, I think it was like Hurts at like 10. Lamar is still hanging in the top five. So like, what are you doing, people? What is wrong with the public? Why is the disparity between the two so much? Answer me that. I just don't
know. Because dysfunction and this, that, and the other thing. And people are scared Hurts is going to turn into a pumpkin, and he never does. So stop. If people think he's a pumpkin, you should be buying the pumpkin. Buy the pumpkin. That's going to be the title of the show. odds of yours being a week one starter. I think Miami clearly wants Willis, but they're not the only team who's going to make a big offer, and their cap situation is hellish. 50-50, honestly.
I mean, I guess it's possible, but in terms of
if they're like tanking for Dante, right? Like,
I could definitely see a path to that. But in my heart of hearts, the Herms vibe is that answer is no. And I will say it again in Spanish for our Spanish speaking listeners. No, I also the Ewers thing, like he's not good. He was not good. He's not. I don't think it's going to make sense. Like, I'm proud of him for making it to the NFL and living his dream. I'm thrilled that he gets to wake up every day and know that he accomplished his life goal.
But in Miami, of all places, by the way.
Exactly. Like, the weather is always great. Like, congratulations, Quinn. Yeah. You did the damn thing. This is probably the best it's going to get for you in terms of your football career. The rest of your life is still ahead of you. But in terms of like the football stuff, like, this is probably it, man. Just be happy with where you are.
University of Texas has a coaching job ready just for you, Quinn.
Absolutely.
Offensive quality control coach incoming. Yeah, I mean, for those who want to say Quinn's a good quarterback, just go look at his offense when he was like in the national semifinals. It was like A.D. Mitchell, Xavier Worthy, C.J. Baxter, Jonathan Brooks was his running back. I mean, good. He had everything, and he still couldn't do it. And his line is like, you might as well put five oil rig guys in front of Quinn Ewers, and that was his line. I mean, it's...
You can't make that work.
No. Yeah, if you can't make that work, you're not making the Dolphins work. And my question was, what was your favorite Olympic moment? He said, anyone who names any Olympic moment other than the men's hockey golden goal is the worst, and I don't even acknowledge hockey as a sport. Excellent. Though Hellebuck stoning Taze was pretty great as well. If I made you say you can't say the U.S. men's hockey, what's your favorite? Did you have a favorite moment of the Olympics? Did you get into anything like curling or anything? You seem like a curling guy. I just have a feeling.
Curling is a very fun sport. I do enjoy watching that from time to time, but I, for the sake of transparency.
Yeah.
I watched precisely 0 minutes and 0 seconds of the Winter Olympics. I did not absorb anything. I have, yeah. The only stuff that I know that happened is stuff that trended on social media. I don't know.
Yeah.
It was on at like weird hours and stuff.
Yeah,
and
like 7 a.m. on Sunday. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Like the hockey games, like that would have been the thing that I was going to pay attention to because I am a big hockey guy. Those who don't know, go Caps, shout out. But like, dude, you were not going to make me wake up at 8 o'clock in the morning to watch a gold medal game. Like, I'm sorry. I thought about it. I really did. Yeah. I went to bed kind of early-ish that night. I was thinking like maybe I could do it. But when it came down to brass tacks, I was just not willing to wake up to watch hockey. Yeah. So I don't have a favorite moment other than everybody who won something being really happy because that is good for them. I'm happy that people were happy. That's my favorite part.
My favorite moment was Nathan MacKinnon getting a stuffed animal as with a silver medal and him looking at it as he had just like given up an OT, like after they just lost an OT to the US. You haven't seen that picture. Look up Nathan MacKinnon stuffed animal on whatever social media you follow. It'll be on there. I did not wake up either. I decided to sleep in because I'm a bad American and I thought Canada would kind of kick our ass, especially after the women's beat them in such a crazy fashion. And I thought Canada men's would wake up and just play angry and we were going to lose by a bunch of goals. And I woke up, I had slept in for the longest I had in a while. I woke up around 10:30 to like 45 text messages. And I'm like, crap. I definitely, the US definitely just won that game. So, yeah, no, I'm happy for the US. That's great. I did not watch it. And shout out Alyssa Liu. Her hair is cool. That's what I'm going to say.
Very true.
She has
very
stripy true hair. She's but that's going to be the end of our show sheet. So that's going to be the end of our show. Thank you, Herms, for running the two-man weave with me tonight. That's been fun talking rookies. Before we head out, I want you to remind everyone who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do.
Yes, thank you so much for having me on the show. It is always a good time to be here with the Trade Addicts audience. And if you want more of Herms in your life for any particular reason, you can do so by following me on Blue Sky at herms.bsky.social. That is my primary mode of communication because the other place is not great. And you can find my work at ftnfantasy.com, as I have alluded to and shamelessly plugged multiple times throughout the program. If you want to hear me talk more, you can check out the Crossing Routes podcast that comes out once a week, typically on Tuesdays. Me and my buddy Tyler Orzinski chat it up, talk about all sorts of stuff. It's usually pretty quick, usually pretty fun. And then there was one other thing I wanted to play. Right. Yes. Okay. On Friday, on this.
Oh, yes.
Friday, the AMA that Tyler and I are doing. AMA
with Jeremy. Yep.
Running that over there at r/DynastyFF. I think we're going to get that running around 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, somewhere in that early afternoon. Just drop by if you are a Reddit user and you want to ask us some Dynasty questions, talk a little bit more about some of these rookies or just anything else that's on your mind, head over, do that. It's going to be a fun time. Herms in the building. Going to be fun. I don't know. I lost my train of thought. I was going to try to say something cool to segue out, but it didn't work. Just follow me on social media. It'll be
yes.
Fine.
Check out my name. The Reddit stream. Jeremy does a great job with that. We are actually doing a Trade Addicts one. Oh, crap. March 20th, I want to say.
Ooh.
It'll be me, Russ, Rocky, and unofficial host Tommy Blair, who will come in. And,
yes, I got the graphic in front of me. It is the 20th of March. Going to be a good
March 20th. So, yes, Jeremy does a great job with these. I haven't done one of these, but everyone I've spoken to speaks very highly of it. So everyone go check out Herms and Tyler, right? Is it Tyler's with you on Friday? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So everyone go check it out. I'll probably check in. I'm working from home on Friday, so I'll probably peek and see how it goes, and I can have Herms teach me how to do it. And our stuff, patreon.com/treyxpod. You can watch this while we record. You can see Herms's amazing flag that's behind him that I always am jealous of when I see it. And we also have our Discord chat, the Cool Kids Club. There's been a lot of trade talks going on in there. A lot of people are like getting ready to, like, we're trying to do trades for the show, so you actually get to see trade talks kind of live in there right now, which is nice. And then of course Fantasy Cares. I can actually change this. The Dynasty Hootenanny I had will be back soon. The Dynasty Hootenanny is back. It was started on Thursday. They did their Optimus Primer. They will do, I don't know what position they're doing this week. They record on Thursday night, so they're live on the Fantasy Cares YouTube. Everyone should go check that out. Support Zach and Jay Mike. They've done a lot for us, so everyone go check them out. There's Trivia Tuesday nights with Joey and Jake Bryant, and there's the Wednesday night hangout where you can usually find me in the chat if that's not enough incentive. I don't know what is. But as Wes Fisher always told us, if you have a trading problem, you're never alone. Good night, everybody.
Woo! Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts, and a proud member in the Dynasty Addict Podcast Network. Please follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FF Addict. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addict Podcast. Poopy fan. Daddy's the best. See ya.